June 21st, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. And today I'm not coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home. I am at the Lincolnshire Marriott for my daughter's softball tournament. And I'm missing the first game today for something very important, a chance to catch up with an old friend and I don't know if we'd call ourselves colleagues or coworkers since you rank above me, or you did, you know, but
I'd say colleagues.
There you go. Thank you. And fellow Irishman, the Honorable Sean N. Riley, Mayor of Waukesha. Sean, as many of you know, oh, and I forget, I have to mention my fantastic producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who he is at home today producing this. So in any event, Sean Riley has been... the mayor of Waukesha since April of 2014. He is a lifelong Waukesha resident, a graduate of Catholic Memorial High School and the University of Wisconsin. You went to law school, sorry.
And St. Mary's too.
And St. Mary's. Oh, that's right.
And Randall.
And Randall.
Randall for kindergarten.
Randall for kindergarten. I love it. Thank you for that. Very helpful. And then you went to law school, was it in Oregon or Washington State?
Lewis and Clark School of Law.
Right. Lewis and Clark, yeah. That's fantastic. But brought that explorer's or adventurous spirit back to his hometown of Waukesha and followed in your father's or your family's footsteps with a career in law. And then I believe you were the city attorney of McGuanago before you ran for mayor.
Well, I was still in private practice, but I represented McGuanago and Eagle, and our firm represented New Berlin, still does, Lannan, and there's always some contract type of things where we'd represent the municipality for specific other municipalities.
So you just gave me an interesting tangent. Well, you were representing out of the city or township of Lannan. I learned a while back on... What's that?
The Village of Lannan.
The Village of Lannan. Thank you. I learned from one of those ESPN, like 30 for 30s or E60s, that when ESPN first started, like in the late 70s, they didn't have any broadcasting rights over college or pro sports. And they decided to go after the real extraordinary, the amateur, the rare stuff. And the first ever ESPN broadcast was the men's softball World Series that took place at Lannan, where the Stoneman play, and it was the Milwaukee Schlitz against the Kentucky Bourbons.
What year was that?
It was like 79 or 80. It was really in ESPN's infancy. And they Jeremy Schapp did the story. And they couldn't find any footage at the corporate in Bristol, Connecticut. So they went all the way to Milwaukee and met the former president of the Milwaukee Schlitz, who had like VHS tapes of those games. And it was a really great story, just a great piece of Milwaukee history. And I'm wondering if there was any legal work required from...
my dad was an attorney for Lannan then in 79.
Okay.
He never talked about it, but Lannan has always been a big baseball area. Huge.
Yeah. I remember my son's youth baseball team when it was the Braves, and then it was absorbed for a little while. Waukesha South had kind of a youth baseball program. And... he had a very bitter, really intense rivalry with the Lannan Stoneman. So
it's a great name for him because everything's rock after 6 inches.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something? So, but coming back to Waukesha and we should say the prestigious career of Mayor Sean Riley, you had announced, I think it was a couple of years ago, that you weren't going to seek re-election after, you know, after successfully winning four terms. And, it's just three? Because I thought it was April 2014.
Four-year terms, and...
it is three, yeah, I'm sorry.
This will be 12 years.
Sorry about that, yeah, so 12 years, okay. What prompted your decision to eventually step down? I guess that would be in next spring of 26.
Well, you know, I've done it for 12 years. I think the biggest thing is I'm not real keen on doing another 4 years. And I don't think it's fair to run. And I'll be 69. I'll be 65 when I finish my term this year, next year. And I want to do something different. I'm not really going to stop I think I'm going to continue working.
Sure.
I don't know what yet, but signing up for another 4 years seemed like that's something I really didn't want to do. And I don't think it's fair to run and then, you know, do 2 or 3 years and resign. I don't think that's
fair. Sure. So, or have like kind of a handpicked Alder or something you groom along the way and then have a succession plan after a year, 2 or 3.
Yeah, people tell me I have to have a succession plan. I don't think that's really the way it happens. But.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that's fair. And I think there's enough people involved in city life in Waukesha that you would like to think that there's some, a good crop of suitors looking to take your place. So as we know publicly, there's only one we know of now, State Representative Scott Allen, but have we heard of any other potential candidates?
No, no one I know of that has declared. Historically, prior to, so like at least in the early 2000s and even in the 90s, there was usually like 6, 7, 8 people running for
right.
mayor. That's what it always seemed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the primary would obviously take care of, get everyone out but two. It'd be, you know, it'd be a regular election. But historically, Waukesha has had many, many people run for mayor.
Sure. So we can feel pretty confident that in the coming months, some new names will pop up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Scott Allen probably has money behind him. He's been fundraising the entire time he's a assembly person. And then he also has very good name recognition. So, you know, it makes it more difficult for people to throw their hat in the ring.
Yeah. And as I understand it, too, he declared quite early as opposed to other, you know, previous mayoral races. Is that fair to say?
Well, when I ran in 2014, I declared pretty early too, because I was running against an incumbent.
Right.
That was my thinking at that point.
Sure.
Scott's declared pretty early, I think, and probably to make everyone aware that he is running, and try to make it so other people don't decide not to run. I'm not hearing that from Scott. I didn't talk to him about it. My assumptions.
There's certainly a good strategy behind that of like kind of being the first one out in the race. And I know he's engaged well with, you know, the community and different people, different influencers in the community. So he's really working hard. So that's for sure. But, so what, do you have any like kind of goals or plans or aspirations in this final year, like to kind of leave a final mark on your legacy as mayor?
Well, what I've been working on since I started was, I'm trying to get the legislature to basically put together the statutes so that municipalities can succeed. Since 2006, for two decades, there's been levy limits, which only allows municipalities their revenue to grow by the what's called net new construction. And Waukesha is a built-out community. And they did this law in 2006, and that basically the housing market totally tanked 2 years later. So there was, all communities have had much less net new construction. We're happy to get 1%, which means that our tax revenue can go up for under net new construction can go up $525,000 on a $80 million budget.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Waukesha, we have it planned out for at least the next 2 years to make it work. There's other communities up north. It's, you know, I've been saying this since 2014, there's communities that have no net new growth up north, and they, instead of having their 11 employees, it, you know, they're very small communities. They now have 7, you know, the roads don't get plowed nearly as quick. You know, the police and fire is a major issue to even staff it and stuff like that. So the financial system for municipalities is broken. What I'm going to continue to do is continue to talk to legislators and try to convince them that there needs to be fixes. You know, they did the new shared revenue 2 years ago. We didn't get hardly anything from that. We got $1.1 million additional money in shared revenue. does it make a big difference to us? Oh no, it was $964,000. It wasn't even $1 million.
Yeah.
Obviously we appreciate getting that money, but
yeah.
Under an $80 million budget with inflation going up, it gets eaten up quickly. In fact, a good example would be that our insurance costs for our employees went up more than that. So even one thing, and fuel, and you know, all the just the cars, vehicles, all those things have gone up, and so municipalities are in a bind. And you see, you know, social media saying, well, you know, it's like you have the money, just do it. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have the money.
Right.
And most municipalities don't. Brookfield just did a referendum for $8 million. Everything they put out there shows that they will have a deficit unless they totally change how they're providing their services.
Right.
And the voters voted it down. So Brookfield is going to start cutting services, you know, wherever they can find them. That's what's going to happen. And I know people get upset about that because they think that, well, their property taxes have likely increased. But that's what I hear. That's a lot of the people that own houses that are appreciating more than the average.
Yeah.
Throwing a whole bunch of stuff in here, but
no, this is good.
But property taxes, when it pays for mostly everything that a city does,
yeah,
it does get. I think that's unfair. Maybe that's another thing. That's another thing I talk to legislators about. Is it's like, let's get off of just property taxes paying for everything.
Sure, sure.
And one other thing to throw in there, and this is what I always tell legislators, is 75% of our costs are paying for employees. So in order to reduce costs, you need to, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to scare any employees for any municipality. What they do is they, through attrition, they'll reduce employees. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is, you know, I haven't seen any community in 20 years, layoffs. That usually isn't done. I don't see that being done at all.
Right.
But attrition is the way you kind of, sure, you just keep on restructuring. But you're not going to get the same type of services. The garbage thing, we had come to the end of the contract for that, and we went out and we got a pretty good deal, but there's things that we no longer provide. I can tell you that the decision was, it's unfair for large garbage pickup to be charged to everyone in the city when it's you know, a small percentage of people that put stuff out on the curb.
Well,
they have to pay for it. The people who are using the service are paying for it. They're really upset. If you watch social media, but they're the ones who are paying for the service. I understand it's difficult to, you know, if you don't have a truck, get your stuff to the recycling center. That's the other option.
Sure.
A lot of communities don't provide that. Some communities do. It's been something the city of Waukesha has always provided. It's a change. Yeah. It's our way of addressing revenue shortfalls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I apologize. Did you say it was 70 or 77% of that goes towards employees?
75%.
75%. Thank you. Yeah. But that's, you wouldn't think that. You'd think that'd be a smaller number, but I also,
we're a service organization. We provide services. And the only way to do that is through people.
People. Yeah. And I don't see, especially from my time in the council, I don't see the staff at the city of Waukesha as being fat. You know what I mean? Like we've got way too many employees. I see everybody I see is working hard, and I've lived in a lot of other cities, and I've seen people get paid to operate elevators and to, you know, do a lot of interesting things, but everybody I've ever known
in City Hall, operating the elevator.
Yeah. Well, I was working for my state assemblyman back in New York State, where I'm from, or when I was at, you know, between junior and senior at Michigan State, it was a paid internship. And I remember going to Albany a couple times, and there were people that were paid to operate elevators. And I don't know if they were city employees, or I'm guessing they're state employees, but I've seen that in other cities where I've lived, where there's people that are, you know, they're a relative of somebody that's an influencer and they get a cake job where, you know, all they got to do is turn on the lights and then turn off the lights. And I've never seen that in Waukesha.
Well, and I would even say Wisconsin government doesn't have that type of political. Here's a job, you know, I get elected, you get a job. I'd say throughout Wisconsin, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our employees, the majority of them are the police and fire. And I can tell you that our common council, as well as the public, isn't gonna have a good feeling about reducing the numbers of those. And it's a dance too. It's an intricate dance because, you know, I mean, policing is becoming more complex. Firefighting, paramedics is becoming more complex, and you need some people that are specialized. Data stuff is really important in the police department. So they're you know, they want more people to be hired to work on those type of things to make good decisions. So it's complex, intricate, and there's a lot of hard decisions that need to be made.
I'm glad you mentioned the police. Like, a great example from when I was on the council was I was really proud to have been to voted for the instituting the body cams. And I was friends, a former softball parent. It was a high ranking position for one of the nearby, city police departments. And he said, make sure you get you need two dedicated staff because someone's got to chronicle and archive and those videos. And
The open records requests almost because
it's a lot of work.
News stations ask for like excessive amounts of cam. We need someone for that. Also, it was a $1 million cost to purchase it.
And so this city didn't vote for the people. They said, well, just a video. And then the police are left to their own devices in terms of like pulling people off the streets they probably don't have the skill sets. And so that was a real, they finally adapted when they realized that. And so it was great that, you know, Chief Thompson was on top of that and that the whole package, if I remember, was approved. And
I don't think they expected as much open records requests for the video, but they did know that there was going to be a lot of requests. They did spend, so the cost of getting the cameras was one thing. It was more than $1 million. But then then you have to pay for the storage of all the video, which is expensive. And then you have to replace the cameras. So the cameras are great. I'm glad we have them. I push for them. But it's an added expense. It's not like reducing expenses. It's increasing expenses, but it provides
new line item.
Just something that's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are we doing on timer? 2 minutes. Okay. In our next podcast, we're going to talk more about your career and some of the great moments here. But you in this final 2 minutes, what are your plans for this, your final summer as mayor?
I went out to California, drove out there with my daughter, Bryn, to go to my daughter's, Izzy's graduation. She graduated from, she got her doctorate in occupational therapy. So we went out for that, and Bryn and I drove to Colorado, visited some friends, and we went down to New Mexico, went camping, hit some hot springs, Bandelier National Park.
Oh, wow.
Then
so you drove, do get a life.
it was a lot. It was 4,500 miles. So that was kind of my trip. I don't have anything else planned. One thing we have is the Rileys are having a family reunion this summer in July.
Nice.
You know, just the immediate family, and that's over 75 people, and not everyone can make it.
Is that planned in Waukesha then?
Well, we're going to be at one of my brother's place. He has a place on a lake, and where we're going to do it.
Did you know Irish Fest has a family of the Irish Fest each year, and you get a free tent and free beer? Yep. And
we've been
a you did it before. Okay,
it was so about 30 years ago.
Cool. Well, thanks for this, your involvement in the first part. I appreciate you sticking around as we do a deeper dive into the legacy of Mayor Sean Riley, and want to thank everyone for listening. And please do stick around because Sean's going to tell us a lot more about some of the real watershed moments, pun intended, during his 3 terms as mayor of Waukesha. So thanks again for listening and stick around for part 2.